We're in Galatians, and I think we're almost done. We're in Galatians 5 today. You know, I love watch a action movie, and I love Tom Cruise. You know, it's mindless action movie. If you really think about all the stunts and things like that, maybe they should have a warning: that do not try this at home. You know. So I love Tom Cruise Mission Impossible. I don't know how many are there. I mean, in that franchise, there must be 6 or 7 movies. And the latest one is called Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. How many of you have seen the movie? Nobody's seen the movie? Just Michael. I know all these college students. You're not into this Tom Cruise things, huh? Too busy. Oh, that's true. That's true. Or you can be very good because it's a money-making machine, you know? For people like me, mindless, just go in there and get entertained. But anyway, you know, it's mindless most of the time. And this latest movie has a nugget of wisdom. It's from a CIA director speaking to Ethan Hunt, which is the main guy, you know, heroes in the movie. This is what he says. He says, our lives is the sum of the choices we make. Think about that. Our lives is the sum of the choices we make. And we said, wow, man, that's, he must have consulted a philosopher or a Christian about this one line. Our lives is the sum of the choices we make. In today's scripture, I think Paul presents two choices to the Galatians that all had to do with your lives. First, the first choice is that, is it going to be you gaining righteousness by trusting in Jesus Christ or obedient to the law? That's the choice. That's the first choice that Paul presented to the Galatians. And the second choice is that once you made the right choice on the first one, that you want to receive Jesus as your Savior and putting your trust in Jesus Christ, then you are facing with a second choice. Do you want to live by the Spirit or you want to live by the craving of the flesh? So Paul gave us, or speak to the Galatians, these two choices. I think the choice is obvious to those of you who are here today, right? But it is not just about making the right choice. Because in verse 25, Paul says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So it's not just making the right choice, but it's also about how to live by the choices you make. How to live by the choices you make. So let's read it, and then let's see if we can see the two choices that Paul presented to us. Okay, this is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 26. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who let himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcisions, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brother, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Okay, so this first portion, verse 1 to 15, speak generally about the choices of either receiving Jesus for justifications or obeying the law and be circumcised as a way to justify by God and gain righteousness before him. But what he made in verse 1 to verse 4 is that these two things are mutually exclusive. Paul presented choice as either or, not both and in. You know, a peaceful and non-confrontational choice is to choose both and in, right? In other words, we can receive Jesus Christ by faith, believing he is the Messiah of Israel, and practice Judaism of circumcisions and obedience to the law, which is also from God. It is a win-win situation. What's wrong with this? Either slash or choice brought untold opposition to Paul. Most of us would cave in to the pressure to at least give lip service to the circumcisions and the law. But not Paul. Why so dogmatic? Why is this so critical to Paul's way of presenting the gospel? Because our justifications, the humanity's justification and righteousness, is at stake. The choice, if you want to obey the law, you have to obey all of the law. That's what he says, right? Verse 3, that if you want to be circumcised, that you are obligated to obey the whole law. every moment, every part of the law in order to gain righteousness. Or you can accept the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ to gain justification, righteousness. It is not about which one is easier to gain righteousness from God. Of course, you believe, right? You believe in Jesus Christ. Simple. You didn't have to be always worried about obeying the law, whether you have actually trespasses against the law or not. It's easier for our sake to believe in Jesus Christ. But it is not. This is the reason why Paul is so adamant against obedience to the law. The question at stake for Paul and for all of us is on whose merit was righteousness given to us? On whose merit? If you obey the law, who gains the merit? Who gains the glory? You are, because you are so devoted, so holy, so serious about God. So you obey every single part of it. That's what Pharisee does. Their merit gain righteousness. But God says no. God says no. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it is through the merit of Christ that you gain the righteousness. Not you. So God gives the glory. The other one, you get the honor and glory. So the stake is this. The stake is right here. Who gains the glory? This is justification's righteousness by faith alone. God's intention from the very beginning, when Abraham believed and God credited it to him as righteousness. This verse is in Genesis 15. It's the critical verse because that is the first instance that Paul referred to as a justification by faith. You see, he hasn't done anything, but he believed. And God says, okay, I'll give you the righteousness. And then he said it himself in this letter. In chapter 3, verse 11, it says what? Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. So faith and circumcision and obedience to the law cannot coexist. That's the point that Paul is making in verse 1 to 4. I think we also confront this choice when we're trying to share the gospel and making disciples of nations. The question most often asked of us is Jesus Christ exclusive? In other words, can I not? Then Hinduism doesn't have anything to say about eternal life. The Buddhism has anything to say about eternal life. Don't they sort of all kind of end up in the same place? They all want to go to heaven and just different means of getting there. You know, like the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. So if you choose to do this way, you will choose to believe in Allah and that He somehow will point you and lead you to heaven. The quick and easy answer is no. The quick and easy answer is no. Christ alone is the only way. Peter said this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No. Christianity is exclusive in its doctrine, in its truth, in the gospel. It's Christ alone. We must get this itch into our mind and hearts and soul. We are justified by faith through Christ alone. So that was the first choice. That was the first choice. I think all of you have made that choice. That's why you're here. Otherwise, you have better things to do on Sunday. And the second choice is not so clear. The second choice is not so clear. You live by faith or live by the craving of the flesh. You know, it started by crucifying your flesh. Because, well, let me just read it so you get an idea what I'm talking about. This is verse 16 to verse 26. This is the second choice that we're making. The second choice we're making. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The act of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. And the like. In other words, this is not an exclusive list. This is not an exhaustive list. There's more. I'll share with you a little bit more. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So this portion is the second choice that you had to make. You had to make, do I want to live by the Spirit, or do I want to give in to satisfy the craving of your flesh? Now, it says that we as Christians have crucified the sinful nature. You just don't stand a chance if you don't crucify your sinful nature. When you crucify the sinful nature, it means that your flesh, your body is dead. The desire should be dead. Paul says this in previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified. It is only when you crucify your flesh that you are able to live by the Spirit. Of course, this flesh, after you killed it, is somehow resurrected again. You kill it, you resurrect it again. You know, it's like, vampire, you can never kill it. It's always with you. It's always with you. That's the reason that you have a body, because most of your craving, your fleshly desire came from what? Come from this body. You will never get away from this body until you die. Until you die. So the crucifixion is something that Christ wants you to do every day, because Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to follow me, he will have to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily. That's what daily, picking up your cross, following Jesus daily, means that you crucify yourself on a daily basis. From the time you wake up, from the time you go to bed, your body keeps telling you what it wants. How many times you eat a day? You eat once a week, like you come to church once a week? No. You're craving. Every body says, feed me, every maybe 5-6 hours, feed me. And then your body says, I don't like vegetable, I only like meat. Okay, so you eat meat, you don't eat vegetable. Your body is craving for things that you may not be good for you, okay? I'm not saying eating, be vegetarian is always good for you. But there's also other craving of the flesh, other than the one that he says here. I say, you know, those things are sort of kind of far away from me, right? Immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, maybe hate, discord, jealousy, yeah. Fits of rage, maybe selfish ambition, yeah. But, you know, there's other things in the modern world that's craving of the flesh. I hit a list here. Okay, I already said food. Alcohol. A lot of people drink alcohol. You know, they become addicted to alcohol because the body says, I want that. I like that. Drugs, of course. Oh, video games, man. I want the pleasure of playing the games. I know some people who stay up all night to play games, right? Social media, your body craving for that. You want to be in touch with the world. Social media. Pleasure seeking. You know, you always seek pleasure. You know, these things come with the body, flesh. But if you keep giving into it, you just keep feeding it. And what happens if you keep feeding it? It gets what? Stronger and stronger and stronger. See, that's what happened when you are making the choice of giving into the flesh. You don't even know you're making the choice. You just sort of kind of do it because the body says, do it. You have to aware of what is going on with the craving of the flesh. And instead of that, Paul says to live by the Spirit. It seems like a very abstract thing, live by the Spirit. And the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It seems there are 9 different things about the fruit of the Spirit, right? But if you look at the grammar of it, the fruit is singular. It didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It said the fruit of the Spirit. What is that said to me is that these things, these fruit are connected. They're connected. They're the same fruit. Maybe taste a little bit of it. You bite into one. Oh, that's kindness. That's good. When you bite into it, it says, oh, it's patience. But it's the same fruit. That also tells me they're connected. In other words, you cannot have kindness without love. You cannot have peace without joy. They're all connected together. So when you try to cultivate one, actually you're cultivating all of them. Like, Lord, teach me to love. Cultivate love. You know what happened? God's going to give you people that you won't have any patience with. It's like, ah, you know. Or God's going to give you people you just don't feel that you want to, they deserve your kindness. You pray, God, give me love, right? Teach me to love. This is what happened. This is what happened. Because the fruits are all connected together. God is going to send you something you never really expected. But that's cultivations. You cultivate. Once you learn or cultivate kindness to people you don't really deserve your kindness, love. You grow in love. You grow in patience. And then you grow in joy. One fruit. You ask God to cultivate, and God's going to cultivate all of them in your life. But you know, that's good. But we have an issue about the conflict. It says in the very beginning, the fruit of the Spirit of God, and your craving of the flesh are constantly fighting each other. Constantly fighting each other. When you want to do something good, the bad, your craving of flesh is always next to you. This is what Paul says. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, oh, it's so good. It's so encouraging too. It says, even the great apostle Paul experienced this like I do. The spirit is willing, the body is weak. That's what Jesus said to his disciple. The body wants to sleep, cannot keep up with Jesus to pray with him. So the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This is the same thing that Paul tells us in his really, a really deep description of what is going on. Okay, let me read it. Okay, let's begin with 14, chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the Lord is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, so as a slave to sin. He's talking about what the law, that what he knew about what the law required of us. So he says, Lord is good, but I'm so as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want you to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the Lord is good. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. It is the sin in my flesh caused me to do it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, the flesh, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my member. So it makes me this craving, this flesh, make me a prisoner. And he concluded. He cried for help. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body of death? Who will rescue me from this flesh? And verse 25, a relief. Thank be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then verse, chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the Lord of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. So we fail. You fight this conflict. You will experience failure. Now, if you don't have any kind of conflict in your life, either you're dead, you know, you have no flesh to fight against anymore, you're dead. Or you have completely conquered your flesh. That you are just floating in air, you know. But I think most likely is that, you know, that we are spiritually dead because the flesh, the body has completely taken over our desires, our craving. So you just do what you like to do. No stopping you. No conflict. Because you just do what the body tells you to do. You want to eat? Go ahead. Have a ball. Okay, gluttony, you know, just eat as much as you want. And then get Ozempic. Then shut yourself with some Ozempic and then you can continue to eat. You see, when we don't have conflict, it's either you have completely conquered your craving and flesh, or that you just completely give in to the craving of the flesh. And I think most of the time, it was probably the second one. You're completely given to your craving. So conflict is good. Conflict means that you are alive. You know there is a struggle. You know what is the right thing. It is good for Paul to have that conflict. He says, I want to do good, but, you know, the bad is right there with me. I want to do good, but the evil is right there. So you'll fail. Good thing you'll fail. I did not say you fail, you try harder next time. Because the harder you try, you still fail. You still fail. What is really relieve us that failure, that sense of failure, I just give up. I just give up. I don't want to fight anymore. Is verse, chapter 8, verse 1, no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and that the Spirit of God has released me from this struggles, from this constant fighting, and enable me to win. Enable me to win. So that is the choice. That is the choice you have to make. He said, do I want to fight? Well, I'm just so tired of continually fighting, you know, against my evil self. Against my evil self. Maybe you're just so tired. But if you don't fight, the evil self takes over. The evil self takes over. And the Lord, through Jesus Christ, give you the spirit of freedom. So you don't have to give in to your evil self. You don't have to feed the craving of the flesh. You know, I have a problem. My children call it hangry. You know what hangry means? That's mean when you get hungry, you get angry. It's not good. All my children knew about it, you know, and they would look at me and says, Dad, here's something to eat. Here's something to eat. Don't get angry. Here's something to eat. But it is a fight that I have to come to the Lord and says, Lord, you know, when I'm hungry, please help me to give me the self-control. To give me the patience. Give me the patience. Let me even then speak the kind words. You know, because when you're angry, you don't usually speak good words. So these are the things that you know is coming. The flesh is demanding food. And you say, Lord, help me to conquer that. Give me, I'm afraid to pray. Lord, give me more love, because that means you have to deal with all nine of them, all nine fruit of the Spirit. It just says, Lord, just give me patience. See, you can do that because you know why? Because Jesus Christ has set you free. He has given you a spirit of freedom that you can conquer. You can say no to your evil spirit. You can stop feeding the craving of your flesh. That's the choice we make as Christians. We make that every day. It's not a one-time thing when you become a Christian. Says, okay, now I crucify my flesh. Now what's for lunch? No, it is a daily thing. Pick up your cross daily. Crucify your flesh daily. And you fail? Okay, Lord, tomorrow is a new day. Start again. And that's how your life becomes. That's how you build a life. Remember what I said in the beginning? A life is the sum of the choices you make. It's the sum of the choices you make. And the choices I made as Christians is that, Lord, I want to be controlled by the Spirit. I don't want to give in to the craving of my flesh. And you can do it by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Because that's what He promised to do. So let's do that together. You know, my hangry is better, is better control. Let's put it this way. You know, my hangry is better control. But there are other conflict you probably have differently than mine. But make a choice. Make the right choice to walk and keep in step by the Spirit of God. Let's pray.